Do not open this door.
I had to say it anyway because it doesn't make sense in the movie.
And then I got on top and I spit into his mouth.
Well, it doesn't ruin my story. It just makes it a conversation rather than a story.
Perhaps a little drunk from the day's festivities.
I would love to meet the woman who liked it.
I
love the moon landing from the standpoint of I believe in the moon landing.
Catch these thoughts, these gems, these pearls coming out of your mouth.
We tried to. I don't know why the Academy Awards. I don't know why I give a shit about them at all. It's left over from my youth.
I stopped watching them like 15 years ago.
It's dumb. I can't do it. A couple years ago, the nice SmackDown that kind of revives some interest. I don't know why I even care at all, except that it kind of, you know, gets my rage-o-meter going a little bit about how dumb people are. Mm-hmm. But I saw all but one of the Best Picture nominees, which I still want to see Zone of Interest. But
you totally sold me on that concept.
Had no chance of winning anyway, but we saw Michelle, my wife and I saw Anatomy of a Fall recently. Fucking great. We saw American Fiction. Now, that was the premise about the sort of satirical blaxploitation. The guy decides it wasn't that good.
Really?
It was
It looked good. Slow-ish, but maybe that's never a problem necessarily.
No. It's, you know what it was? It's a great premise. And when it was sharp, it was sharp.
Okay.
Meaning, like, any type of... Is that your dog? That is quite a lot.
Oh yeah, he's got his hoof.
Any type
of little hoof.
It would do this little sort of like the African American writer. Mm-hmm. His novelist. His novels aren't being picked up again. To some degree, it's a simple. It's been something like it's been done before, right? If he writes intentionally ghettoizes a novel to prove a point, and then it becomes like the bestseller up for you know. All that sort of stuff. But the way they handled some of the like the ghettoized sort of language and all the white publishers like, that is powerful stuff, was pretty good. I have to say,
I hate the word powerful now.
Yeah. But it was pretty good. But there were a couple of moments where I was like, I don't know anyone who's like that clueless about. I mean, it really became almost like the neighbor from the Jeffersons after a while. And then the other thing was,
I wouldn't say it, Joe.
It's a great Jeffersons reference. But then when it got to anything that wasn't on that sort of like Voltaire-esque sort of mission. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, it lapsed into the worst of like kind of Tyler Perry Lifetime movie drama.
Really?
You know when Tyler Perry, when his movies are take a break from being funny or attempting to be funny, and it's like, I don't find them funny either, but it's like you can tell the line.
You can literally have never seen a Tyler Perry.
Here's wacky Madea territory, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now we're getting real, and it's always like, oh, that's just a Lifetime movie in a way. I was really disappointed by what this movie... I mean, it could have skewered lots of things, including white people, which I'm down for, baby.
Oh, dude, I want the word honky back so fucking bad. It's crazy.
You're pretty off mic, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. I prefer it that way. I just want to make sure you stay that way.
You are the living Ann Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the end. Here's where you live.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me that movie might, to some extent, and you tell me because I haven't seen it, might suffer a little bit from its own, sort of the sins of its own premise a little bit. Is it playing with woke culture? And at some point, you still kind of got a hove to woke culture a little bit?
I thought it did an admirable job for about a third of it going both ways.
Really?
Okay. I mean, a lot of really interesting stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, he's a lit teacher as well as a novelist. So he has like the nigger of the Narcissus, the Conrad title.
You said the word Narcissus, Chuck.
Double N-words. And it's like, oh my God, that word offends me. And the camera turns around and it's a white, like 20-year-old. And he says, if I can get over it, you can. And she says, why? And the next thing you see, she's like storming out of the classroom. And he's just rolling his eyes like, oh, I hate young people.
Right.
So it's really going back and forth in a way it could be really fun. The biggest knock I had against it was just when it got lazy, not in terms of the point it was making, just in terms of like in between. It's like if you saw Network, but like fully half of it was just like William Holden and Faye Dunaway acting like a script from a Lifetime movie. Yeah. It'd just be like, where? How did this take this left turn in such boredom? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Banality, perhaps.
The evil of. The B word. Anyway. Sorry, I just wanted to get some stuff.
We're so going. Weirdly self-congratulatory for no reason here.
I will agree with you, but what do you mean?
I don't know that it was in context there, but...
Oh, okay, got it.
Still, yeah. just in general,
we're assholes. I'm like,
wow, what's wrong with us?
Well...
It's hard to know where to start.
I think because I still have that desire to be smashed well. I don't like a random, you know, someone smashing me, but when someone can come along and point out, oh, you fucking, you hypocrite bullshitter. And it's like, it's a good call. It's a good moment because you kind of grow from it and you kind of appreciate the person calling you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely.
It can be great. And so when a movie promises to do that, I'm like, oh, I'm set. I'm ready for some smashing here in terms of this movie. And it was just not quite up to the task.
Apparently the kids have a new use for the word smash. And it's kind of thrown me a little bit.
Oh, when you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant that. That's what I meant. Okay, what do you think of that?
All right, let's turn this off. Let's go. Come on.
Good call.
Eldest time for licking duty.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So, look, you suggested, first of all, I think what started this whole thing was you wanted, let's do a movie that, and then its remake. This is where we're starting. We started making
I
a
seem
list
to recall
of,
that vaguely, but that was a while. We made this plan a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been pretty busy. That. Yeah, so you know, I don't know what made you pick this one, but I'm glad you did because it was really interesting. And it made me go read a novella that I...
You read that fucking thing.
I did. Have you read it?
I have not. Although I do have a lot to say about the guy who wrote that thing. So that's
John Campbell. You know him?
John W. Campbell. Yeah. So John W. Campbell is like in science fiction... he's like one of the founding fathers of the modern, he's like one of the kings of the golden age of science fiction, but more importantly in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he was the editor of the magazine, like
Science Fiction Magazine,
right. Which means any of the greats who came out of that time period came through his office.
Okay.
So he created Asimov, Clark, you know, all of them, Herbert from Dune, that was kind of at the end of it. But, I mean, he was just very, just crazily influential, this guy was.
Oh, okay.
So I was intrigued because I've never read anything by him. So it was interesting to watch a movie based on.
Well, like I saw the movie before I read the, I think it's, I mean, it's, so a, now, let me it's ask either you, a novella or a long short. So I think it was 80
novella.
Pages.
I think it's called a novella, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie first. Because I just hadn't planned on reading it, no. But I found a copy online. That was
the first movie, right?
We're yes. Talking,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Thing from Outer Space,
right?
From 1951, based on the John W. Campbell novella, I guess.
Who's There or something like that? The name of the book.
Now I can't remember.
Shit.
It might be who. Yeah, that might be right.
Yeah. Who's knocking on my timber?
The relationship between his story and that movie aren't that far off.
Really?
Well,
I think that was my question about that. I did start looking that story up. I just never got around to it.
I just, in terms of tone, I thought it was kind of, it was, let's just talk about the movie. Let's talk about the movie, the 1951 movie, which I thought was called The Thing, and then I realized it was called The Thing from Outer Space.
The Thing from Outer Space, right. And it really follows, so Campbell was part of a type of science fiction story writer that really was like the heroic, you know, man in the middle of it, super... It's kind of a, not quite a Superman, but an everyman Superman in the middle of the story. So it was Arness, I think it was the actor in the movie.
Yeah.
Really kind of fit that mold. He was very much of that type.
Well, you say Superman, when a listener might hear that and initially think of it as like a moral stance or something, like the good.
No, super competent at everything. Like the sort of the worst case scenario of like how all white men or any man really wants to be seen in that setting. Women, of course, fade into the background. So there's some women in this movie.
Yeah,
but they're very much in the background, and they're there to look pretty and make jokes.
Yeah, but that's not James Arness. This is where I'm getting confused, because James Arness is the thing.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. So I wasn't getting that wrong. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, that's the interesting thing about The Thing, James Arness, is it's a non-speaking role. He's not very competent, and also he has very little screen time.
Yeah, very little screen time.
I mean,
yeah.
William Holden's wife and network had more screen time than this guy gets.
She fucking worked that to the max, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Okay, so, I mean, it's a classic, you know, Ice Station Zebra type thing, right? It's mm-hmm. like, let's get them out on the tundra plains.
Ice Station Zebra. I love that.
You know that movie?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. It's got the guy from The Prisoner in it. But anyway, so they're out in
James Arnett?
No. Patrick McGoohan.
There you go.
Okay, so what surprised me about this movie, and I did like this movie,
mm-hmm.
what surprised me about this movie was how little it was about the plot of a spaceship,
mm-hmm.
A thing man, an right. all-powerful thing man,
mm-hmm.
and the race to shut him down. It was actually kind of... a weird party going on there with all these very strange and incongruent characters.
Right. I think that's one of the sort of kind of a crowning achievements of that movie was like, it was just a weird cast of characters being a weird cast of characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was kind of fun. I thought it was a fun movie. I didn't think it was a very good movie. I think it was fun and really sort of right down the center of like early 50s sci-fi.
See, I disagree with you, Siskel, and here's why. I was thinking about this on the way to work because it seems to me, unlike movies like Them and Creatures from the Black Lagoon, movies I really like,
mm-hmm.
they're on one end of the continuum. Then there's 56, or I think 56 is Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which I actually think is on the other end of the continuum. Them and Creatures of the Black Lagoon are campy,
mm-hmm.
but kind of like never announce it. It's like, you know, they must be aware, but they're never like overt about it. Whereas Invasion of the Body Snatchers is actually kind of weirdly sophisticated for a 50s. I mean, it's actually scary.
Well, I think it has something to do with it's 51. It's like super early on the 50s science fiction.
Well, this is 51. The one we're talking about is 51. But yeah. I'm saying those movies like Them, which is 54. Mm-hmm. I think Creatures of the Black Lagoon might also be 54. I think Invasion of the Body Snatchers is 56. Those represent a continuum in types of movies from the 50s. Whereas Them, Creatures of the Black Lagoon are kind of like, they're campy, but they just never announce it. And you're like, are they even aware of it? Are they trying to slip this by?
They probably weren't aware of it.
But Invasion of the Body Snatchers doesn't have any campiness. To me, it's legitimately a scary movie. It's like psychologically unnerving. And this one,
yeah.
I felt, was like kind of in between the two. And what made it sort of interesting, you know, and suspenseful is what you'd expect. But what made it slightly campy, but aware of its campiness, were these weird characters like the journalist.
Right. The journalist is a good example. But yeah. I think, but where I was going with this before is because it's kind of early on in the 50s. I think one of the things that kind of sets it apart is that the dialogue is snappier than it tended to be later. Not better.
Yeah.
The writing's not better.
Right.
But it's snappier. And that's where we get the weirder characters from.
Yeah, it definitely is because
he's not just a journalist. He's almost a 1-2-3 journalist. You know, he's in that neighborhood.
Well, it's like he's a journalist, but he gets confused himself. Am I a journalist or a patriot? You know what I mean? It's like, is this a First Amendment issue or is this protecting Americans from a monster?
Right.
Like he kind of like he's. I don't dislike him as a character, but he's the most convenient character.
Right.
Whereas the doctor who's like. Science, we must learn from science versus all the other, which by the way is the much more admirable stance from all the goofballs there who are like, kill it. They're idiots and he's the one who's right. And what's weird about the movie is that, and it made me think about like, is this movie allegorical to 1951 politics or something?
Ooh, because I would imagine so, yeah.
Because the guy who's like, trust the science, or should I say 2024 politics, the guy who's like, hey, maybe we should trust the science or something is like, this idiot, this idiot's going to die when he, it's a reverse Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's the thing where the scientist is presented as sort of knowledgeable, but ultimately his naivety relative to the concept of mere survival comes into question. Because that's the problem there, and that has sort of extended itself. I guess, God, it is fucking like today, isn't
well,
it?
Well, because all, in a sense. All
because,
that
because maybe, the troglodytes eventually pick up the stone.
Well, not only that, it's not that they forced their way into winning. They were right, according to the story, to distrust this guy who right. wants to sort of preserve a scientific discovery for later examination. All that would have had to happen is like for two of the guys to be on his side. And it could have been a much more interesting story.
Right.
I mean, no, I shouldn't say interesting because I liked it. But I mean, just in terms of the point it was making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought it was kind of weird because, I don't know, I thought it was, the minimalism was kind of cool. Like, most of what was scary about James Arness as this creature from the other place, wherever it is, was the off-screen damage he did the wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Aside from his demise, which is the corniest thing in the film, most of it avoided a lot of that sort of like horrible 1950s sci-fi technology and stuff.
Let me ask you this.
What if you had to put
a gun to your head? Let me run to the bathroom for
what's
that.
What's your next stop?
Your three favorite science fiction movies from the 50s.
I love them. I love Creature from the Black Lagoon, and I love Invasion of the Body. I think those are the three.
Okay.
I love them.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I'm going to go with The Day the Earth Stood Still. That might be my favorite of all time from that time period. And I think I like the one...
Well, you have Vertigo, so that's...
What's that?
Nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
And then there was War of the Worlds. I like the 50s version of War of the Worlds. I saw it in the theater as part of it.
Okay.
I don't know. It's one of those things I like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's one of those things I liked, Joe.
But I mean, at least it has the noise, which is kind of unnerving, you know? And Creatures of the Black Lagoon, it's like what's unnerving is almost nothing except when the actual creature shows up. And it does a thing that good films did out of necessity, I'm sure, for the 1950s. But it's like, let's not have this monster appear too much because you're going to see under the glue piece or whatever. Right. But it's like it gives a mystique to the monster.
Yeah, Godzilla, you're going to see the zipper if you put him on screen too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I like the leading lady, Margaret Sheridan. I wonder if she's a sister of Ann Sheridan, now that I'm thinking about it, from Bad Day at Black Rock. I don't know, but Margaret Sheridan, I thought she was...
She was great.
Yeah, she's a little His Girl Friday, you know. There's some sexism, sure.
Yeah, but what do you want from ladies, huh?
Sexism.
Yeah, of course.
Make it
sexy, lady.
The doctor was delightfully mad. The problem I would the only thing I didn't I mean there are a couple of things I'd improve, obviously, but even in the context of its own sort of creation, is I felt like it was just uneven between the characters.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with you there. I like the lead character.
Yeah.
You could see where, like, Troy McClure got all of his starting.
Kind of a Robert Cummings type character. Yeah.
Hello, you know, just super lantern. His voice is lantern-jawed, for fuck's sake, you know, so he had that quality going on.
Yeah.
But not much of a presence, I didn't think. He didn't make nearly the impression on me as the doctor, the reporter and the young lady.
Yeah, so they're all second bananas, and it's like it's a movie characters. Full of Ned Beatty's that sort of carry the whole thing, you know, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I thought the whole scene with them discovering the saucer, which was a little bit mirrored in the second one, of them discovering the saucer, was kind of ingenious because it's another one where it's like they don't show something. What they do is they show them. Finding it rather than you finding it. So it's like they have to circle that big patch and look down where they think the edges are, but you never see the saucer. You just see what the size that the saucer must be.
Right.
There's a lot of implication in this story that I thought was kind of deftly handled for a 1951 movie.
So, like, sort of the essence of the science fiction of it is alien crash lands on Earth, and it's from another planet, and it has evolved and is a more or less a plant-based form of life.
Oh, that's very right. Different from us. I forgot about that. I like that. He was plant-based, and therefore, I mean, sorry, any enemies of
Buffalo
veganism.
Soldier.
But this veggie monster could absorb the bullets.
Oh, yeah, it could take bullets.
I forgot about that.
You know what? Thank God it didn't happen. It wasn't made like last year or something like that. Somebody would try to just smoke the fucking alien.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, it's also...
We get a lot of pod jokes.
That's pretty inventive, no? I mean, it's like...
That strikes me as pure Campbell now. I haven't read the story, but I'm assuming that's probably where they got that from.
Because there's no... You can't force your way over this monster. That's like, whether it's The Fog or movies like that. I mean, that wasn't a very well-made movie either. But the concept of like, yeah, you're not going to shoot or bomb your way out of this thing.
Right.
You have to figure out something unique, which they didn't at the end of this movie, and that's the biggest failure of this movie, I would say.
Yeah.
As they just called on PG&E to Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know what? PG&E delivered. So not even reasonable.
Right. It is fiction after all. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed this movie.
It was pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't not in my top 5 or even 10 probably science fiction movies from the era, but I thought it was pretty good. I like it.
I wouldn't make my top 10 from that era.
Okay. Not even, I think I know 9, nine, so maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, you might know a lot more than I do in terms of those.
Just stop right there.
Just have to those things and those things. Yeah. Alone. Uh-huh. All right, are we done with that one?
I would recommend.
I would recommend it. Yes. Yeah, so it's a great Sunday afternoon watch.
You got like the Castro Theater. You got some kind of a theater showing like science fiction from the 50s. Go watch this movie. It's worth it.
All right. Now, I got to tell you.
Oh, Forbidden Planet. Way overrated. Go on. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Forbidden Planet stinks. And I like Walter Pigeon. That's Ann Sheridan, too, by the way. Not Meredith Sheridan.
Okay, nice. Mm. And it's what's his name is from The Naked Gun, Leslie Nielsen.
Well, and he was all serious until after Streets of San Francisco, I think.
Beautiful.
Did you ever see where he would do the fart things on the talk shows?
No.
Those ridiculous like squeezy things you can put in your pocket to make a fart sound. Mm-hmm. He would do them during interviews. And Johnny Carson, what?
He was a little eye rolling. All right, you know,
I love him.
God, you're wacky for sure. Now that being said, I did catch a TikTok earlier, which is the and it told me why TikTok is great, because it was just this guy hanging out with a white rhino just on the side, just hanging out, sitting there, and then suddenly the rhino just farts. Farts.
Let's get you that phone, buddy.
What's that?
Let's get you that phone you were talking about.
With more.
Chitterbug. All right. So then we head over to 1982's The Thing, which I got to tell you.
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen much Carpenter. I really was a little resentful going into this. I thought, right, we'll sandwich this. I got to tell you, I loved it.
I think I saw this movie 4 times in the theater.
This movie is amazing. It rocks.
So great. There's so many good things about this
movie. I'll tell you what it is, and this is no offense to the other movie, which I like. It's a much, much better Alien.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Alien's great.
Well, just conceptually a better Alien. And you know what?
Just to be clear what I'm saying, it's the movie Alien, the plot line, but much better. I don't mean like the...
Much better than the movie than Alien.
Because it's kind of the same. It's very much the same type of thing.
Isolated alien life forms.
That pops... Yeah,
this is a much more intriguing concept of an alien.
Way better than Alien, which I like. But yeah. This movie was actually nuts to butts. I mean, it was just fucking fantastic, yeah, man. It's great, I mean, so good. And I'll tell you another thing. And I'll let you have the mic. Early Kurt Russell, love him.
Yep.
Current Kurt Russell, like him. Love him.
Okay.
70s to 80s Kurt Russell, I can almost always do without.
Really?
And this one turned me around.
Okay, you didn't like Captain Jack? It's Kurt Russell, I think. Probably no doubt Goldie Hawn is
Overboard,
in it too.
Right?
Yeah, it's the same one fucking movie over and
but
over.
It's just terrible. All of his 70s.
Big Trouble Little China.
A horrible movie.
You hate that movie.
I
get it.
By the way,
what a bummer.
Everyone who likes it also recognizes it's the thing. It's so bad. It's God. It's really bad.
It's terribly made.
That's yeah. What I mean, every aspect of it is bad. I don't like any of his movies.
Okay, but you do like this one.
Love it.
I remember being watching it in the theater, and at the point, like his intro scene is him playing chess against a computer that was so high tech back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just calling it a bitch and pouring whiskey into the and that was so scandalous to me when I was like, when this came out, what, 83, right?
Yeah. No, 82.
82. Yeah, I was 13 years old. I was scandalized by that fucking thing. It was great.
Well, I mean, it's also like that. That's what I immediately thought. I'm not going to like this movie because of that type of move. Because it was like he did that thing in the 70s and 80s where he was like, I'm irreverent. It's like, oh, fuck yourself. You know, but it's like.
It works in this context.
But it didn't last. He got three-dimensional. He actually got two-dimensional and then three-dimensional.
Okay, so this is why this movie is a better version of a similar thing to the other movie.
Yeah.
It's not a... The alien is almost secondary to the paranoia that the alien creates.
Definitely.
It's so fucking great.
Definitely.
It just terrified this alien from outer space. They thaw it out. And it can replace in looks and almost every way another human being. And so now you've got this isolated group of people. Yep. And who's the thing and who's not the thing.
And the tests to figure out who's the thing and not the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has transitional moments that are like scary monster-like. About 80% of them were maybe, oh! Uh-huh. 20% of them were like still like working out your 1982 claymation stuff. So it wasn't entirely successful, but it was pretty good.
And Carpenter is a master of what they call body horror, which is really what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And it was so fucking ahead of its time at the time. It was crazy how ahead of it's.
But it's
it looks a little dated now, but it's still pretty goddamn great.
It was fucking great, man. Yeah.
Alien is disgusting.
Wilford Brimley.
I think this is his best role.
I would go Hotel New Hampshire, but I'm going to say this, best mustacheless role.
Oh, for sure. Nothing like looking in through an icebound door at him and his noose hanging behind him.
Diabetes. But he, 82 The Thing, 83 The Natural, 84 Hotel New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. That was his Pacino's Godfather 1, Serpico, Godfather 2, and Dog Day Afternoon, period.
Okay.
Keith David.
He's such a great actor.
He's always great.
Yeah.
And it's, I think he actually got popular after this movie. Most of the stuff I recognize.
Maybe the first time first thing I ever saw him. They Live, that was, and even much further beyond that. Yeah.
They Live. No, wait. He was in Something About Mary. Was he also, and this is where I guess I'll be, if I'm mistaken for another black man, I'm in trouble here, but wasn't he also in Night Court? Bam,
bam, bam. No. Was he? If he was, it was like a guest spot or something.
No. I was kidding.
It was a black woman, and then there was Bull. I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I thought he was Mac, the clerk's assistant.
Oh, no. But that guy was black, so well done, Joe.
Boy.
Okay.
Richard Mauser, always great. I mean, always likable. He was also
He's the guy who shot the Norwegian guy, right?
Yeah.
Those are the only people I really recognize in the whole damn movie.
T.K. Carter is. I'm reading off on IMDb to be fair here, but he was the only guy. I mean, none of them were Olivier, but he was the only guy who was a little bit like. He had the fame, like, beaded, like, G-string headband and, like, come on, baby. I mean, it was kind of over the top,
David for half the movie.
Little over the top. No. Well, little over the top was also, I forget the other guy, but it was, like, he was, like, stoner weed guy.
Got to be fucking kidding me. That was one of the great lines in that movie.
I mean, a lot of these actors you've seen all over the place, just what a great ensemble. It was frightening. It started off in an interesting way with the Norwegians, right?
Right. The Norwegians are chasing this dog across the snow and trying to kill it a lot.
It's hard to talk about it on a podcast, though, because talking about it, the thing is, it's like it's so much of it is just visual glory.
Right. I saw that. So I got to say, it's like visually, it's very appealing. I remember the first time I saw it, I still love that movie, and I didn't see the dog scene. I had to see it like the next time.
Why didn't you see it?
Because I was skipping theaters. I wasn't expecting much. I just walked into this movie.
Oh.
That's the downside of skipping theaters back in the day.
Oh, you're talking about movie hopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, we called it skipping theaters.
My neck of the woods.
The urban environment in which I grew up. That's what that was called.
Yeah, I really came close to adoring this movie. I mean, I was like my expectations were also so low. That kind of helped, but it was goddamn good.
Yeah, it's great. And that ending is one of the great endings.
Oh,
my it just God. Lets you, it leaves you hanging. No answer as to whether or not either one of them was for like 25, like 40 years.
But it also...
There was no answer. Now it's a known quantity.
It has that horrible thing that repeated itself in 1983's War Games, which is like, because we didn't know computers, you just looked at a computer and then like dots would appear on a map of the U.S. So it's like, that's what will happen in 24 hours, in 36 hours, in 48 hours. Mm-hmm. But given if you just accept that from a 1982 point of view... It did a really good job of giving you the dilemma like, well, either you all kill yourselves, basically, or let the world die. Easy answer. And then like, nah, not so easy.
Not so easy.
And it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. It really wouldn't be that easy.
Right. Yeah, no, it's tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by way of its absorbing other people, like the other part of it is that the creature is eventually going to wipe out everybody on the planet if it gets out of this fucking place.
Right.
Yeah. Goddamn. Such a good movie.
Yeah, I...
I'm glad you liked it. I really am.
Oh, did I love it.
I'm sweating having to fucking defend this thing if I had to.
It's defendable, but yeah, I mean, what's... I mean, it's clearly better than the other one, which I also liked.
Yeah.
It's visually stunning. The cinematography, even beyond the scare factor, is pretty good. You know what? I don't know that much about Carpenter, to be honest with you. Like, I know, like... I like the Heat Did They Live,
which Heat I they love. Live. I think didn't he do? God damn, Escape Chris, from, he did do Escape from New York.
I did hate his Escape from New York. If he did it, Christine, I think he did.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else really.
Okay.
But mama, this is quite a film.
Tremendous movie. Yeah, absolutely. Well, more than recommend. I'm giving it two thumbs up.
Why don't we look at, just sort of see what this Carpenter fella has done.
Let's do that. We've got computers.
Let's see now. The Fog, not so good. Escape from New York, didn't like. Halloween, okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, stop right there. We could just stop right there. I mean, as far as like a fucking pedigree of horror goes, Halloween is right up there.
Is Halloween
the Michael Myers? Slasher.
No, I know. I'm holding
on. No, I don't think you know.
I know what it is. My question is Halloween, is it like from a modern, let's say modern being a stupid term for like 1970s to now, but excluding like 50s mm-hmm. stuff, is it like the king of Halloween horror movies?
I don't know about that. I mean,
what would beat it?
Well, I mean, okay, that's definitely straight down the line. That's genre slasher right there. I personally like Jason. I've never actually seen Halloween. And to be honest, I'm not as rule into horror movies.
No,
kind of got tricked into watching Friday the 13th and kind of loved it. It was a total guilty pleasure for years.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I do know that they've made like Friday the 13th like three times. Like that movie itself has been remade like two or three times.
And
since
it has
that.
It's considered like a six real sequels, I believe. And in fact, I think there was a Halloween Michael Myers versus Jason one year.
God help us, really? I know there was a Freddy versus Jason, which is maybe that's a tremendous movie.
Oh, you know what? Nightmare on Elm Street might be the king in a way. That is
slasher
actually
movies?
Just, I don't know
it's
what
the
to call
smart
it.
One.
I don't know what to call it. I mean, slasher movie or like nightmare movie or
slasher movie,
stalker movie. Yeah, or
it's really, I think it is like the sort of the king as far as like
number one
just
stalker,
being a better concept.
Number one stalker movie is Bus Stop, actually.
What's that?
Number one stalker movie is Bus Stop.
Well, okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, that would get a bigger laugh.
Oh, we should call it Podcast Stop. Jesus,
ooh,
fuck.
Oh, boy. 3.2 out of 10 for me. Yeah.
What else?
Okay, well, let's... I mean...
We're not done.
Well, the problem with this... Oh, I see what the problem is.
Chucky versus Jason.
Okay. Chucky I never liked.
It's ridiculous. Bride of Chucky was kind of
There's a bunch
hilarious.
Of music videos. Escape from L.A. Village of the Damned. I didn't see.
Yeah, but we live there, so...
He directed Get the Fuck Out of Here, Memoirs of an Invisible Man with Chevy Chase and Daryl Hannah.
Okay.
They Live. I loved it.
Yeah.
Prince of Dark. He directed Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay. So he's a genius.
I don't get that. I don't get it. But Starman I've never seen.
Me neither. Jeff Bridges, right?
Yeah. Christine, Escape from New York. I didn't like The Fog.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we could just go through this, but most of them are just sort of forgettable things, looks like.
Yeah, but he's in the horror genre. That's not great movie making ever.
Are there
Has
any
there
great...
Has there ever been a great...
A horror movie that's truly, like, artistically great? I mean, what do you consider a horror movie? I think the answer is no to this, but I'm just going to throw it up there anyway. I don't think The Lighthouse is a horror movie, but we did note that it had some... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a movie, there's a movie with Jeremy Irons that takes on like what if Kafka had his own story, own sort of nightmarish story, like just taking the type of writing he did. It's called Kafka, and it's like, yeah, that's you know, there's a kind of eyeball in the sky quality to it. But so it's more than suspense. What's the question we have on the table? I've forgotten already.
Is Alzheimer's? No, is there like what's a good example of like genuinely good movie making in horror?
Yeah. I always thought that you did this just because I didn't like the movie you brought to the Halloween thing, but I love that French movie Eyes Without a Face.
Okay.
Remember, he has the daughter who's needs a face. She's born without a face, and so he's a surgeon who keeps killing people in order to then regraft their faces onto her face.
Right.
I like that kind of shit.
Man Bites Dog?
That's a movie?
Yeah, that's the, was it the French documentary of these guys are trying to make a documentary of a serial killer and he gets them into it or something like that?
Okay, I don't know about high quality, but I'm going to say this. I love
that movie.
I know this is the butt of many jokes, no pun intended, but I do love and am terrified each time by The Human Centipede. I think it's a fucking great concept, and I love the movie.
I think we're losing our plot here a little bit. I mean, is it a great piece of art at all?
Oh, was that it, though? But I thought you were saying like a really well-made movie. I didn't quite know that you elevated to the art question.
I mean, if I were thinking about it, I think maybe The Lighthouse might fall into that category.
Yeah, it's close.
It's pretty close to being a horror movie for sure. I would say it is.
I mean, okay, then Psycho. You see what I mean? Like at some point, Psycho feels different than what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Because there's no supernatural in Psycho. I guess that's it.
Yeah, well, there's also distinctly. Well, I guess it's not true. There is the distinct like transvestite exploitation quality to it, because that's always kind of part of horror too.
I guess.
Was it Stephen King's thing? Is if I couldn't get the horror, I'd go for the gross out. Like that's
is that his statement?
Yeah. Well, if I can't get dread, I go for horror. If I can't get horror, I go for the gross out.
Wow.
Yeah.
You do a good quoting of Stephen King, sir.
Faith in big gold.
That's Mr. King right there. Right there. Is he in the room? yeah. I think. I mean. Yeah.
I don't know either of us. The truth is, I really don't want to figure it out right now.
It seems like
an interesting thing to ask, but sure. At the moment, I don't really feel like doing that.
So. I love where you're taking this podcast. Same place I am. Yeah. Right down the shitter.
Oh, a difference.
It's a horror show itself. All right, yeah. So anyway, I guess just to recap, Think from Outer Space, thumb up in a jovial, thumb uppy way, and The Thing 1982.
Tremendous.
It's double gums.
It's one of my favorite 80s movies.
Oh, that's saying a lot, man.
That in class. They're right next to each other.
Okay, cool. Well, got anything else?
Nothing really I can think of.
We really came back with a tepid roar on this one. But I tell you what, I had a good time watching it.
Well, what do you get? Yeah, I mean, that's at least got to be part of this, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Tommy, I love you, buddy.
I tolerate you as well.
All right,
bye. I love you. Ha ha, just kidding.
You're my thing.